Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of the SC Times Sports Report podcast. My name is Zach Dwyer, and joining me, as he does every week, is my co-host Brian Mosey. Brian, we're back in the office today, recording during a very busy week. Sections started up. You got notebooks going every night. We're out at games. What's it been like these first couple days?
It's kind of fun to get back into the rhythm of things. I mean, I think this spring has been just kind of weird with the fact of delayed start with all the snow and the rain. And then I was on my cruise, so that kind of put a halt onto my coverage at least. You know, you were able to still cover stuff. But then coming back and then having more rain, it was just like so many different like spotty places where it's like, oh, I might be able to go to a game tonight. So it's just nice to get back into the rhythm of things, see some section games again. Because always those section games are just so much more amplified in the sense of, you know, everything's on the line. So a little different with the spring, though, with softball and baseball, because you got double elimination. So even if you lose, you still have a shot. So, but, yeah, very nice to get back, and it's nice to have some nice weather again, and hopefully that continues here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're recording this Wednesday right around noon, and, you know, right now is about the only time it's supposed to be bad outside all week. I know it's rained a little bit today. We'll see if there's a couple regular season games that are going to try to get in today. Luckily, not really a ton of section games scheduled for today. Ton on Thursday to look out for. So we'll talk a little bit about how those softball and boys tennis tournaments have started out through the first couple days. Brian was at softball last night. I was at a couple events too. So we'll discuss a little where things stand and where you can look at kind of events going into the weekend and into next week for what to be ready for. And we'll just kind of hit a bunch of different sports and kind of see what we get to through our usual kind of allotted time here. But we'll start with softball since you were at Albany, who played Holdingford last night. You know, I know Albany came in as the four seed in this one. You expected it probably to be close, and it just didn't really go the Huskies' way from the jump.
No, I mean, especially after the first day when on Monday when they had the first round, Albany was able to beat Pillinger 15-0 as, you know, the Huskies just kind of rolled through the number 13 seed. Haley Hoffarth pitched a perfect game. She struck out two batters. Shelby Horning went 2-for-2 with 3 runs and 4 RBIs. So just a really good outing for the Huskies. And then you come into Tuesday. And granted, yes, Holdingford is obviously a better team. Pretty similar records between the two teams, between Albany and Holdingford. And so you knew it was going to be probably a good game. And it was for a while. I mean, Holdingford was only up by like 2 runs through, I think, 3 or 4 innings. And then some errors occurred by the Huskies that Holdingford was able to take advantage of. And it kind of trickled after that. I mean, they were up, I think, 7-0. And then Albany got a couple runs to make it like a 5-run game. And then they came right back and scored another 3 runs to make it 10-2, eventually ending the game 10-2 and putting Albany into the elimination bracket. With a lot of these, like I said before, you know, softball and baseball, it is double elimination. So even if you lose, you can still go through the elimination bracket and win twice in the championship to advance to state. So you're not technically out unless you lose twice. So Albany did play Kimball, who was the number 9 seed, in the elimination bracket last night after their first game, and they were able to win 5-0 to stay in the tournament. So they will be playing Thursday, and they'll take on the loser of number 2 Piers or number 3 Pequot Lakes at 7 p.m., all of these games at River's Edge Park in Wade Park. But on the other end, I mean, Cathedral has been rolling. They've been rolling basically all season. They're 21-1 now, and they were able to win on Monday against being the number 1 seed. That was obviously the expectation. They won 18-0 against number 16 Staples Motley. Ella Voigt pitched a perfect game, struck out 8 batters. Rachel Voigt went 2 for 2 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. Just a really good outing by them. Honestly, not really surprised by that outing, just because that's what they've been able to do all season long. They continued that dominance in Tuesday's win against number 9 Kimball, 6-0. Ella Voigt also once again lights out, complete game shutout with 10 strikeouts. She just, and then 0 errors on the defensive side for the Crusaders. So obviously that is a recipe for success in that sense. So now Cathedral will be playing Holdingford, the number 5 seed, on Thursday at 5 p.m. at River's Edge Park. And the winner of that will move on to the semifinals on, I believe, Tuesday next week. And then the loser, if Cathedral did lose against Holdingford, they would have to play right away at 7 p.m. on Thursday night against number 6 Sauk Center in River's Edge Park. So a lot of different movement there in that sense, but kind of a good bracket, just in the sense that, you know, a lot of good teams around there. And so I'm excited to kind of see how Cathedral does against Holdingford, especially after, you know, what they were able to do against Albany. And we'll kind of see how things kind of unfold towards the end of that winner's bracket.
Yeah, just to have a 5 seed be able to beat a 4 seed like that, you know, it shows we knew this section was deep kind of all year from looking at the results and how they played against each other. But it even shows, yeah, that, you know, that game against Holdingford for Cathedral will be no easy task, I'm sure, on Thursday. And we'll see if they can kind of keep rolling, make their path easier going ahead in it. It does work well for them that, you know, they're playing on their home field for the section tournament. That's obviously just that, you know, comfortability is an advantage. And when you're playing as well as them on any field, you know, that obviously helps. So, yeah, that's been what's going on in Section 6 2A. In Section 8 4A, we've also had quite a few games this week already. St. Cloud Crush, they went up to Bemidji and upset the number 8 seed 6-0 with a really good performance on Monday. Lola Jacobs had a complete game shutout and struck out 10 batters in that game. For the Crush to, you know, keep their season alive, they would have been done if they would have lost that game. But they were able to go on the road, get that done. They had to go on the road again last night to, you know, an incredible Brainerd team. They lost 12-0, but so now they're going to have to, you know, continue to fight their way through the bracket. And Sartell also in that section, they were in the number 3 seed hosted, but they were upset by Elk River 3-1. Despite, you know, an incredible game from Danica Sarf, she gave up only 2 hits in a complete game and struck out 10, but just kind of the bats weren't going enough to get that win. So Sartell will also have to, you know, battle their way through. What does the schedule look like for the rest of that section, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, with Sartell, they will be hosting again with this particular section tournament. They just do the high seed as the host team. So Sartell will have an opportunity to host once again in the elimination bracket, I guess. But they will be hosting Buffalo on Thursday at 4:30 p.m., Buffalo being the number 7 seed. St. Cloud will have to head up to number 5 Moorhead at 4:30 on Thursday to kind of, I mean, honestly, this is do or die for them. If they win, they move on. If they lose, their season has come to an end. So, kind of a little bit intense, but also, I mean, that's just the fact of section tournaments. I mean, you kind of have to have that mindset. The one thing I will say is, you know, Brainerd is a very good team. They're undefeated. So even though it was a 12-0 loss for St. Cloud, it was a good game overall for them. I mean, it's just tough when you're playing a 4A school that literally has beaten every team that they've faced this entire season. So not an easy task, but and then I guess the last bracket that was happening over on Tuesday was Section 8 3A, which has Sauk Rapids and Ricori in it. Sauk Rapids, they got the 5 seed, and so they went and played at Wilmer, who was the 4 seed. A big offensive production between both teams. Wilmer was able to win 14-11. Definitely kind of a lot of back and forth in that game. It was a tie at 5-5 after 3 innings. The Storm kind of took a 9-5 lead after getting 4 runs in the top of the 4th. And then Wilmer came back in the bottom of the inning to score 9 runs to take it 14-9. And then it was just way too big of a lead for Sauk Rapids to regain the lead. But Izzy Mortland went 3-for-4 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs, so a good performance by her. But now Sauk Rapids will be awaiting the loser of Little Falls, which is the 2 seed, and number 3 seed Alexandria in the elimination bracket. So Sauk Rapids will have to travel to Little Falls because they're the host site, and so then they'll play the loser of that game after the first game. And then Ricori on the other side of the bracket, they haven't played yet because they had a bye because it's a 6-team tournament, and so they will play. They will be playing
Wilmer.
That's the one.
As the number 4 seed, yeah. Being able to that's
brain
okay.
fart. Sorry.
There's a lot of. If you could see the schedule of all the events, it's amazing we can even scroll through it at all. But yeah, with you know, them being able to win that game as the 4 seed, they'll be moving on to face Ricori at 4 o'clock coming up and on Thursday. And it'll be interesting to see just because they've, you know, it's nice to get that home field, the number 1 seed. But if it's going to be, sometimes it can be advantageous to have that break. You get to, you know, get rested up, get healthy, get some more practice time. Or will they be a little rusty coming into that game? We'll have to see. But having a double elimination, you know, tournament does help a lot in that factor, because even if you do have an off day, you know, you're still alive and can do some damage. So that's it's a really competitive section. I'd say probably, you know, the most even kind of top to bottom of the 3 that we've mentioned. That's kind of up for grabs by anyone. So it'll be fun to see in the next week or so who comes out on top of that one.
Yeah, and just one thing to note, Ricori and Wilmer haven't played each other since the beginning of the season, of the regular season. So a lot of unknowns there between the 2 teams. So it's kind of fun because, I mean, yes, you know who they are and you've been able to watch them play and you've played against them, but since there's so much gap in between the middle or between the 2 games, it's kind of fun because it's a whole different team now. I mean, Madison Terrace is on a like hot streak like no other. I mean, that's the one thing that I'm hoping is that, you know, Shelby Prom was looking really good at the end of the regular season. Same with Madison Terrace, same with Olivia Schreider. I mean, so many different players on that team were kind of hitting that hot streak. So I'm hoping that continues as they, you know, have this long pause in the middle of the season and they come out firing. Same with Cathedral. Cathedral's playing Holdingford. They've never played each other this season. So it'll be kind of a fun matchup because these 2 teams have played similar teams, but they haven't played actually each other. So, yeah, it'll be kind of fun to just kind of see all these new matchups come Thursday, and not entirely sure where I'll be yet. I'm still kind of determining whether I'll be at Cathedral or at Ricori, but regardless, 2 very good games in the winner's bracket for Thursday's matchups.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of our breakdown on softball. You can, you know, Brian's been putting up section notebooks every day. You can go to sctimes.com, read those, and kind of puts it in a concise way to understand what's all going on. And the other section tournament that's really been ramping up this week is boys tennis. Already last week, they started their team tournament. And Friday, you were over to see the St. Cloud Crush, who played a really good game against a very good Bemidji team. I know it came down to the wire, and Bemidji came away with the win in that match. But just kind of tell me about what the match was like and what you really noticed that kind of put them over the top.
Yeah, I mean, it was, like you said, very close, kind of back and forth for most of the game, or most of the match. The other local teams kind of all lost 7-0 to very good teams, so don't really want to go into the specifics of that because it was just kind of hard losses for them. But for St. Cloud, they were able to have some success. They were able to get the win against Monticello on Wednesday night, 5-2, and that was another close match just in the sense that they literally just played Monticello the week before, and it was a 4-3 game that was in favor of St. Cloud. So, I mean, kind of what you expect when it comes to this particular season and this particular tournament. But when it comes to Friday, St. Cloud had 4 of the 7 first set wins. So you kind of had a feeling that, you know, they were on the right track. They were on a roll. And then Bemidji was able to get the first win and take that 1-0 lead in 4 singles. And then they also were able to get the second point after a loss at one, number three singles for the Crush. But then Ripley Garden and Jonah Adkinson, they were able to cut the lead in half with a win at number one doubles. And then Bemidji was able to get another victory at number three doubles to make it 3-1. So they were kind of facing a really hard task of trying to get back and get that win. But then number one and number two singles with Michael Plumbon and Gavin Fenstead, they were both were able to win in straight sets to make it a 3-3 match. And so it all came down to the number two doubles match. And Zach Stang and Josh Vogel both had some really good performances in that first set, getting that win over, getting that first part of the win. And then after that, it was kind of Bemidji kind of was able to make that small comeback, and they were able to win the first set 7-6, and then in the second set they won 6-4, Bemidji did, to tie it at 1-1. So it all came down to the third set, and I think it was just not a whole lot left in the tank. Also, the two that were at Bemidji have been partners for a long time, from what I've heard, and they were able to win the second or the third set 6-2 to take the 4-3 win as a team and end the team aspect for St. Cloud. So kind of a tough go for the Crush, because I know they were looking really good, and they also had a really close match against Bemidji earlier in the regular season, but obviously just wasn't able to get that last victory point that they needed.
Yeah, and then you go, you have to bounce right back from that, get over that disappointment, because you go right into individuals this week, and St. Cloud has had some pretty great performances there too through the first opening rounds. There's still some time to go here throughout the rest of this week to see who does qualify for state here on Thursday. But kind of through the initial days, you know, Michael Plumbon just rolled through his opening matches for how they separate it. For these, they separate half the teams each in North and South, and you play out those matches. Then the top four each go on to kind of a final eight held at one site, and I believe it's at Tech, right?
Yep.
Tomorrow on Thursday. So for those, some of the standouts were Michael Plumbon at, you know, he was number one singles for St. Cloud all year, and he just kind of just easily ran his way. The quarterfinals, he won 6-0, 6-0. And the semifinals, 6-love, 6-1 over a player from Becker, and then won the finals of that section, 6-1, 6-1 as well. So
he didn't have hard time at all.
No, I mean, drops,
which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, to only drop three games through three matches is insane. So he's on great form heading in. He's going to be, I'm sure, the number one seed because of that for you know, that section. And then as well, Gavin Fenstead, he finished fourth in there, losing in the third place match in three sets, but he'll also advance to this final day of the tournament. And then on the double side, in the third place, Ripley Garden, Jonah Atkinson lost that match 6-3, 6-4, so they were fourth, but that'll advance them as well, just enough to stay alive. And then the only team from, those were all in the south subsection, which St. Cloud is in. In the north subsection, the only team to advance was from Sartell, Zach Farley, and Grant Clark. They had a nice day to beat a team from Alexandria 6-4, 6-4 in the third place match. They'll also be playing. So, you know, two doubles teams and two singles players still trying to go on that last day could make in for some interesting matches tomorrow.
Yeah, and the top two for both singles and the top two for doubles will make it to state. So basically you have to be in that top two to be able to continue your season after this section tournament. So tomorrow will be a lot of fun just to watch. I'm going to try and get out there for a little bit and watch them play. Michael Plumbon, obviously a favorite to be in that top two consideration. He'll take on a singles player from Detroit Lakes, who was the number four North seed player. And then Gavin Fenstead, he's going to have a tough task in the quarterfinals match against the number one North seed against Bemidji's number one singles player. So going to be interesting there. On the double side, Ripley and Jonah will be up against the number one South North seed from Bemidji, and then Zach and Grant from Sartell, they will be up against the number two South seed from Monticello, which that particular individual from Monticello was their number one singles player, but he actually joined the doubles pairing. So be interesting to see how that kind of goes. But yeah, overall, I think it's going to be kind of interesting. if you lose in the quarterfinals, you will automatically be, you know, kind of out of that. You'll be done. But what, if you make it to the semifinals, they do have like a third place game to see if there's like a possibility for a true second match. If there is, then obviously you play that. Otherwise, the top two that make it to the finals will advance to the state tournament in the middle of June. So, yeah, definitely a lot to look forward to on Thursday. It's going to be a busy day with both section softball and section boys tennis. But, I mean, honestly, it's kind of the fun time for us as sports reporters because you get to kind of run around and see how all these different players and athletes are doing at the most important time of the season.
Mm-hmm. And for what I remember, I don't think St. Cloud sent anyone to state for individuals last year. I know they were close on a couple of occasions. And with Sartell also having a doubles team in the mix too this year, we'll see if any of them can kind of break through and send someone from this area, because I know we didn't last year. So, yeah, so keep tuned to sctimes.com for that as well. Brian, also been putting up notebooks on tennis. And if this whole kind of dialogue about it was confusing, you can just look there and maybe that'll make it easier. I don't know. There's a lot to go through and some kind of extensive brackets, but it'll all be made clearer there, and also tomorrow when we find out kind of our winners. But besides that, that'll kind of wrap up the first part of the show. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk some track and field, some lacrosse, maybe some baseball, and touch on some other changes for coaches, athletic directors, activities directors, you know, just a lot of movement in the St. Cloud area this time of year. So we're going to catch you up on that. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Welcome back to the SC Times Sports Report Podcast. We're going to wrap up the day with a little bit of track and field, hit on a couple other sports. Especially wanted to touch on that because I was at the Central Lakes Conference meet for a little bit last night before I headed out to girls lacrosse, which I also covered. And, they continued to see some really good performances from a lot of local athletes. One that continues to stand out is CeCe Woods. She lowered her school record time by even a couple more tenths of a second. She finished first in the 100-meter hurdles in 14.52 seconds. And then she also, I think, set a personal best in the 300 hurdles with a 45.09 in that one. So she continues to dominate, and her being able to place high in that was also a really big bump on Saturday because they thought I should mention that too with the state true team meet, the Class 2A1. Ricori won again back-to-back titles. I think they're fourth in the last like 6 years or so. They just continue to be incredibly deep at basically every event. And when you're at True Team, that's what it takes to get to the tops. They won by over 50 points over second place. So not only winning it again, but in a really dominant fashion. And, the thing that kind of came through that they were able to win it, other than, you know, CeCe placing well in those, and Brianna Schneider, she also did well in throw. She won the shot put and was runner-up at the discus. The big difference was the relays. They finished second or third in all four relays, which is just insane when you have that many teams, when you have 12 teams competing. So to be able that consistently strong at those gets you a lot of points. And at the end of the day, that was enough to get them to win. At the Central Lakes Conference meet, they were third yesterday. They were the top local finisher of our teams. But there's also a ton of other good performances from the guys and girls side. You had Sartell finished first in the 4x2 relay, records 4x4 won, and also their 4x8 team. So you had those relays doing really well. Noelle Hackemuller from Apollo, she also won the long jump. And then on the boys' side, too, you had some nice performances of some winners, like Vincent Caluza won the mile, Logan Clark won the 110 hurdles and 300 hurdles, and then Garrison Murray won the high jump with a 6-foot jump. So, and Tech was the top finisher there. In fifth place, and they were the hosts of the meet too. So you had some nice performances just kind of rounding out the conference season, heading into sections, which already started up yesterday too for Cathedral. They were already hosting their subsection meets. So you kind of have, while a lot of these other sections only have some do prelims and finals, some do kind of just finals. They do where they have a subsection meet. Theirs was at Piers. They kind of split up the section because their section previously used to have like 28 teams. I'm not sure how many it is now that we've realigned to more classes, but before it was an insane amount of teams. So you got to break it up somehow. So they would, so you kind of qualify at this first meet, see how many move on, and then the finals will be at St. John's next Wednesday already, actually. And from that, there were, you know, a ton of winners that I know you wrote out here when we were doing the scoreboard today. You know, Turner Shad continues to do well, Jacob Eichhoff, some of the relay teams were all, you know, winners or placed well in multiple events. And then on the girls' side, you know, Hope Schuler won a couple of sprints, which has become pretty standard as well. And then a couple other relays, too, doing extremely well with the 4x2 winning, the 4x4 winning, and the 4x8 also finishing first. So a lot of, especially just going through all these lists, a lot of relay teams to look at when we get to sections here coming up. I've been starting to kind of go through some of the lists of, you know, who's ranked in the top two, top three in these sections. And there's a ton of names over, you know, the four different sections we're going to be covering. So definitely a lot to keep an eye out as we go into next week. Starting Wednesday, we have the first days of some meets, for, you know, those section meets that finish up on Friday, Saturday. Cathedrals already finishes up on Wednesday. So, yeah, we'll have a ton of coverage of that next week. But those are just some of the high points. One other thing I should mention is that at the Granite Ridge Conference meet they held theirs last week, Olivia Gable won the mile. I know, big surprise. But she broke 5 minutes for the first time and also set the conference record in the event too. So she's also looking really good heading into sections with Albany being in that class 2A against some different teams. This year will be interesting to see how she competes as well.
No shock there. She's like,
yeah, I know,
freaky,
right?
Fast, like Jimmy Johns. No, she's been a phenomenal athlete, both cross country and track. So doesn't surprise us that she was able to finally break that 5 minute mark. But congratulations on that. Yeah, like you were saying, a lot of section meets coming up next week. I know you're going to be at probably one on Wednesday next week. I think you and I might be going to Monticello for on Friday for another meet. So a bunch of different track meets going on over the course of the next week, so plenty of stuff coming your way if you're interested in that particular sport. Another thing that you went to last night was girls lacrosse. Maybe just kind of talk. I know it's two local teams with Sauk Rapids, or Searchell Sauk Rapids Co-op, and then they played against Ricori last night. Maybe just kind of give a little synopsis of what you saw from that game as we kind of conclude on the regular season for lacrosse as well.
I know it's finishing up. We're going to have section playoffs and that coming up, I believe, next week too, coming up really fast. But yeah, it was a good matchup. It was Ricori's senior night. You know, they were winless on the year. Their only, and Searchell Sauk Rapids, their only win was against Ricori on the previous game. So it was kind of interesting to see how it was going to shake up this time. The Storm and Sabres, they started off much stronger. They jumped out to a 6-0 lead about halfway through that first half. And it looked like it was going to be kind of a huge blowout, honestly. But then Ricori, they played a lot better those last 12 minutes of the first half to make it 7-3 at the half. Had a variety of different goal scores for the Spartans, too, to kind of get back in the game, swing a little bit of momentum. But then right after halftime, it was kind of all Storm and Sabres the rest of the way. They won 14-5 to get their second win of the year. Delaney Dinger, she led with 4 goals. And then Bella Cahoot and Annika Crane, they both also had hat tricks. They each had 3 goals. So they played extremely well kind of throughout that stretch. They attacked well. They forced a lot of turnovers, won a lot of draw controls to start possession too at the beginning of the game. That really helped them gain that momentum, and they kind of finished their chances. You know, Carly Hentges, she was really strong in goal for Ricori. She made a bunch of big saves. It could have been a lot more goals, but in the end, they just kind of had continuous pressure in attacking the goal that led to the win. So now they'll both kind of be looking to shore things up for sections next week, see where their seeds fall. But yeah, it was good game and you know, pretty competitive throughout.
Absolutely. Well, good. Just a couple more notes before we wrap up this podcast. Some kind of coaching and AD changes, I guess you could say, for the last week or so. On the AD side, Searchell St. Stephen, they just hired a brand new activities director for their programs. Bruce Thompson is the new AD for Searchell. He used to be the associate director of athletics for St. Cloud State University, so has a little bit of an idea of what it's like to be in that athletic director role and understand kind of how that works. He'll begin his new role on July 1. So, and he will be taking over Nick Peterson's spot. Nick Peterson was the interim activities director for this past school year after Ryan left and went to Ricori as the principal over there. And then Nick will be starting up his assistant principal role once again, because that's where he was beforehand. He'll start that up for next school year as well. So some good news there, having kind of a familiar idea of what it's like to be an AD and kind of going into that with a better idea. So that's always a good thing. On the coaching role, kind of some big changes, I would say. I was sitting at a Twins game on Monday night and went through my Twitter thing and saw that Jason Allen is now the new boys basketball coach for Sauk Rapids Rice, which was kind of took me by surprise a little bit. Derek Peterson announced his retirement. Apparently he was thinking about it over the past year and kind of made it official after the season was done this past winter, giving Nadine Schroeder and also the next year's interim activities director, Phil Klopaki. They both were able to kind of find a new opportunity for someone to take over the role and have a little bit more time to kind of figure it out. And they came across Jason Allen. Jason's been the Apollo head coach for 5 years at as a boys basketball coach, and he just thought it was the right time to make that transition to a new school. And honestly, I think it's a good hire for Sauk Rapids. I mean, a guy that is very familiar with a lot of the Central Lakes Conference schools. He's been in the system for a while. He knows kind of how Sauk Rapids plays. Even Allen said that, you know, Sauk Rapids has become a team where, you know, yeah, you might not have the most talented kids that are basketball athletes. Most of them are kind of football guys that play on the basketball team, but they're physical. They know how to play. They know how to win. And they will nonstop just come at you all for every minute of every single game. And so Jason loves that type of attitude. He loves that type of spirit, and he can work with that. And so I think he's excited to kind of see what the possibilities are for this Storm team for the next couple of years. And I guess, what are your kind of thoughts? I know you kind of cover the boys basketball realm a little bit more in tune, I guess. Just maybe talk about kind of what this means for Sauk Rapids' program.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting to see that even you lose someone like Derek that's been there for a while, that's established something good. You can bring someone in that has done something at a similar school, like, or, you know, had a couple of really good years at Apollo. Last couple of years, you know, the wins haven't come as much, but has still been doing a great job in all the games I've seen. And it'll just be fun to kind of see him in a new environment with, you know, a different program to see where he can kind of take it. You know, they were able to win a conference title in 2019, get to state in 2020, were big accomplishments for that Apollo program. And Sauk Rapids has been kind of knocking on the door in recent years. They also just went to state, you know, I think it was 2018 maybe, but they've been, you know, right on the verge of section finals the last few years. They've just been a couple steps away. So if he's able to bring anything in and, you know, put them over the top, that'll be exciting to see. And it's just kind of be interesting, is I feel like, you know, we don't see many coaches go from like one Central Lake school to another. You know, it's not like either, you know, sometimes college sports you get that, but high school it doesn't happen very much. Usually it's someone either, you know, moving from different kind of area in, or someone that's been here for a while. So it'd be cool to see him, you know, kind of go just, you know, over the river basically, and kind of see what he can do over there.
Yeah, and for those people that aren't as aware, Derek was the head coach for Sauk Rapids Rice boys basketball for the last 6 years as the head coach. Before that, he did 12 years as an assistant coach. So obviously, a lot of kudos to him on his success at the Storm program, and what he was able to bring to that Storm program was substantial. And obviously, I know he's excited to see Jason take over that role and continue that success for the future. But yeah, I guess that kind of wraps up this podcast. Just to give you a heads up of what we're doing this upcoming week. For me, tomorrow on Thursday, planning to go to one of the softball games, not entirely sure which one yet. Friday and Saturday, not a whole lot going on in the high school realm. So not really doing much on Friday night. Took Saturday off for the weekend for Memorial Day weekend. Come back Tuesday, and I will be figuring that out later. There's a lot of section tournaments, games, and matches and stuff going on that day, so I'll flip a coin and figure out where I'm going on Tuesday later.
Yeah, a lot of TBD in the coming week. A couple things I do know. Friday night, I'll be doing Albany graduation. O'Dave will be over at Cathedral graduation, so doing pictures of that. And then going into next week, like Brian said earlier, a lot of track meets, a couple other events with those baseball tournaments. Starting up softball tournaments, kind of concluding. There'll be plenty of opportunities for us to be at something. It'll just be kind of pinning down what we're going to do. But beyond that, one or two other just college notes I kind of wanted to hit before we finish up. St. Cloud State, last week I think I talked about how they'd hired a new men's basketball coach. I went to the press conference for that last week, pretty excited about where that program could be going. St. Cloud State women's hockey also announced their new coach. That was on Friday, I believe it was. It was at least at the end of last week, and they picked they had a really good hire for that too. Brian Adolski is his name. He coached the North Dakota women's team for about 12 years before they cut the program. And then he's been coaching in the Russian Women's Hockey League for the last 3 years, and he was also the Women's Olympic Hockey coach for the China national team at the Beijing
All
Olympics.
Over.
Yeah, so he's got a ton of experience, just not even, you know, he is at North Dakota playing St. Cloud State, even playing those teams. He also was an assistant coach a while back for a year at St. Cloud State. And before that, he was at his alma mater at UW-Eau Claire, and won a bunch of hockey games there too. So actually UW Stevens Point, sorry, but he won over 100 games there in like 5 years. So everywhere he's gone, he's found some level of success, and hopefully he can do that for the women's hockey program too, which has been kind of always trying to find that foothold, find that success in, you know, the toughest conference in college hockey. So we'll see if they can, what that rebuilding project will be like, just like men's basketball. And then lastly, the Tech College, their baseball and softball teams both made nationals. So they won their regions in the last two weekends. Softball already has a game today. They're the 7 seed out of 8 teams. And then the Cyclones on the boys' side, they're the 8 seed. They're going to be playing later this week too. So we'll kind of keep tabs on that too, fill you in on how their journey's out. The women's team is playing in New York, and then the men's team is playing in Tennessee. So kind of all over the place, but they've both made, you know, getting to nationals kind of a tradition in some sense, but to be able to both go at the same time is really cool. So we'll keep you informed on that. But Brian, anything else before we finish up today?
No, just keep checking sctimes.com for updates, scores, notebooks, photo galleries, videos, all that type of stuff. Check out social media. We're trying to do a few new things around the social media realm, so make sure to check out Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that type of stuff. But yeah, I guess good luck to everybody that's doing sections and postseason stuff. Looking forward to going out to all these different meets and games and matches over the course of the next week or so. But we'll be back next Wednesday to talk more about it.
Yeah, hopefully we'll, you know, with all those events, a lot are going on during the day. We'll figure out if it's Wednesday, if it's Thursday, but we'll get you a podcast at some point. We can promise that much.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that I think will about wrap it up for today. So once again, thank you for tuning in to the SC Times Sports Report podcast, and we will see you again next time.